Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson. 844-DIG-CHAD at Chad Benson Show. I'm Nigel, that's Hammer. Hammer, last night we were talking a lot about Obama levying sanctions against Russia for the whole email hacking thing with Hillary Clinton. By the way, Hillary Clinton supporters are under the impression that she lost the election because the Russians hacked her emails and released them, right?
They're under that impression, but the fact of the matter is she's a horrible, horrible bitch.
Whoa.
That's why she lost the election.
Careful there. That's strong. That is strong. We'll move along then. Anyway, yesterday, some of the sanctions included, Hammer, banning the Russians from their own compound here in the States. Moscow bought like a compound for their diplomats and stuff. They're not allowed to go there anymore. And 35 diplomats were expelled from the U.S. In addition, this was last night. We talked a lot about this. The Russian embassy tweeted this. President Obama expelled 35 Russian diplomats in Cold War deja vu, as everybody, including the American people, will be glad to see the last of this hapless administration. And then, along with that, they tweeted a picture of a duck with the words lame across it.
Lame duck. Get it? See what they did there?
No, I get it.
We tweeted that out yesterday. If you want to see that, scroll back through our timeline at Hammer and Nigel on Twitter. This may come as a shock to you, Nigel, but Vladimir Putin did not really care for the sanctions. I know it's kind of an amazing story, but Vladimir Putin said, quote, "We will not expel anyone. We refuse to sink to kitchen diplomacy." And basically, the long story short here, it seems like Vladimir Putin's taking the approach of do what you want, because here in just about 20 plus days, mm-hmm. it's not going to matter.
He's waiting it out.
Waiting it out.
Is that a good description?
What's the old adage? If you get a hot girl's phone number, you need to wait 3 days before you call her. You've heard that before?
If you watch the movie Swingers, that's the standard. 3 days. Just wait 3 days if you get a hot girl's number and then call them. Just wait it out is what Putin's doing.
It just seems somewhat comical to me that after 8 years of being somewhat passive, now the Obama administration wants to be Mr. Tough Guy.
So do you think Obama's like just trying to go out with a bang? Is he trying to get some stuff done? Is he pissed off that the Democrats lost they did?
He's trying to make the transition as difficult as possible for Donald Trump. And anybody that thinks otherwise is being naive. Because sometimes when one president leaves and another one comes in, they can do some wacky, funny things. Like, I remember when George W. Bush won the presidency, the Clinton administration under Bill took all the W's off the keyboard in the White House.
No.
Yeah.
No. Are you making that up?
That's true.
that's funny.
That's right. That's the kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing that normally goes on. But in this case, things have gotten so nasty and so divisive that I honestly feel like President Obama wants Donald Trump to walk into a hot mess just because he wants him to have to deal with it.
Yeah, but the other thing that's going to happen is Obama is leaving office and Trump is going to go in there and just undo everything he did for the past 8 years.
It's a kick to the crotch to his legacy. It really is, because Obama built his legacy on not only the historic fact that he was an African-American president, but Obamacare. Obamacare was his baby. Now, what Trump does with that, we don't know. We've heard it's going to get repealed. We heard parts of it may stay, still to be determined. But his legacy is on the line, and I think he's trying to create a bit of a smokescreen, a bit of a diversion to make Donald Trump deal with some stuff.
That Russian embassy tweet. It's 24 hours later. I'm still shaking my head at that thing. It's very Trumpish.
I expected more from the world-renowned Russians, you know? I expected something a little harder, a little tougher from Red Empire.
But instead it was very tongue-in-cheek and very witty. But you're right. Yeah, you're thinking more along the lines of like a hard-assed tweet, like, you know, screw you or something like that. But no, the Russian embassy tweeted a picture of a lame duck.
It's like what everybody's like daughter would tweet out. You know, you had a little fun on Photoshop. You found a cute picture of a ducky. You put some graphics on the front of it. Boom goes the dynamite. And I expected more from the Russians.
And then as we open the show, there are people that think the reason, and we don't need to call Hillary names, by the way. Don't do that again. I'll do what I want.
Don't for a minute think you're going to tell me what to do.
There are people that think that she lost this election because the Russians hacked her emails. And I think there's a lot of people under the impression that the Russians hacked the voting booths, which is completely not true.
I stand by my statement. And ever since Hillary Clinton got into politics, long before she ran for president, when she was being, you know, in public service, when she was the public defender, I understand sometimes as a public defender, you have to defend some horrible people. But look up her one of her very first signature trials when a young girl was put on the stand by Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton made a young rape victim testify and made her cry and a lot of things that are no longer legal in law practice. So this is the kind of mentality why I stand behind my statement. She's always been this way.
Every time I think about Trump, I get allergic. Once I get over my allergic reaction, let me say that
somebody needed to call 911 on her.
Somebody needed to call the police a long time ago.
Call 911. Hillary's coughing. Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson here. Before break here, Hammer, I mentioned 911. I do have some of the year's funniest 911 calls.
Okay.
And they don't necessarily originate in America. Like, I'm going to play one now for you from I believe this is England. And overseas in Europe, British anyway, it's 999, not 911.
Okay.
See if you could tell. I just want you to listen here. This doesn't need anything set up. This guy's calling 911. Oops. Here, I got it.
What's your emergency?
I've run out of toilet roll.
And you're calling 999 for that reason?
Is this 999?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Did you hear why I was...
No, I couldn't understand it. What was it?
What's your emergency?
I've run out of toilet roll.
I've run out of toilet roll?
Oh! I couldn't understand it!
He ran out of toilet paper and he called 911.
What's your emergency?
I've run out of toilet roll.
Okay.
And you're calling 999 for that reason.
Is this 999?
Yes.
And then he tries to pretend like, who did I call? Is this 999?
Is there another number similar that helps you out in that situation? Like, if you call 912, will they bring you some toilet roll?
There's this is a 911 call out of Texas. A man called to report goat abuse.
Hey, what's going on?
It's a livestock call. Apparently college kids are using a goat as a beer bottle opener. And giving the goat alcohol.
Okay.
What?
They were using the goat as a beer bottle opener. I'm assuming using either its horns or its teeth.
Or something else.
Apparently college kids are using a goat as a beer bottle opener and giving the goat alcohol.
What the hell?
Well, that's the way they party in Texas.
No, that's not the way you party anywhere. You don't use a goat as a beer bottle opener. My God.
How about calling 911 to report that your drug dealer didn't give you the drugs?
911, what is your emergency?
Hello, my cousin just pulled my hair and stuff. He got my money, and I want my drugs.
Okay, and what happened there?
I want my drugs, though. He took my money, so you better get my drugs and my money.
Well...
Drug dealer ripped you off, called 911. That was, I forget where that was at, but I do remember that story. Denisha Heller was her name, and the cops showed up and arrested her.
You know, we can laugh at a lot of these 911 calls, but on a serious tip, with this being New Year's Eve weekend, I should say, if you see something that looks squirrely, legitimately squirrely, not goat opening beer bottles, but something looks shady, if you see something... Say something. It doesn't make you a racist or judgmental if something doesn't look right and you call the authorities.
Coming up next, we're going to look back at the year in music. There were some highlights. There were some lowlights. There were There is life. There is death. There were bad musical cover songs. And we'll get to all that next. The Hammer Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Yeah! Let's get crazy!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Awesome!
Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson. One more time, taking a look back at 2016. Big loss. George Michael gone at the age of 53. Heart failure, and there were, always rumors surrounding his death, drug use. There was rumors of heroin. He lived a fast, hard lifestyle, and he was uber-talented, uber-rich, and hopefully, I don't know if he left this life without his demons intact. You know what I mean? Hopefully he wasn't still an addict. I guess once an addict, always an addict, Hammer.
Right. But say what you want about the dude's personal life. Might not be my cup of tea, but the fact of the matter is, when you go down the list of songs that either Wham or George Michael had solo, it's a long list of good stuff.
And that was with, I think that song we came back with, Phil, that was George Michael and Elton John, right?
That's correct, sir.
That was a huge, that duet right there was huge. So, yeah, we can look back in music in 2016, Prince, David Bowie,
Merle Haggard, Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
What's the biggest Earth, Wind, and Fire? Because I'll be honest with you, I play classic rock for a living, and I'm not that familiar with Earth, Wind, and Fire. What's their biggest?
Probably the signature song by EWF is September. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard September played by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay. And then Merle Haggard, the Okie from,
Okie from Muskogee.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah. I mean, you can joke all you want, but when you look at the Mount Rushmore, so to speak, of country music stars, he's certainly up there. And it's a far different brand of country music than you hear now, where it's kind of poppy and Luke Bryan's encouraging chicks to shake it. Merle Haggard did the kind of country music where you listen to it, you want to drink whiskey, and then go hurt somebody. It was a different time back then, Nige.
And then, of course, a couple days ago, Debbie Reynolds, Singing in the Rain. You could go down the list with her.
Right. There's a number of people that we don't have time to get on the list, but 2016 was absolutely brutal in terms of losing some amazing, amazing talent.
Now, as far as music is concerned and touring bands, and I think one of the biggest pieces of news in rock and roll, anyway, was Axl Rose joining AC/DC. Not permanently, but he kind of took over for Brian Johnson because of health issues. Brian Johnson was about to go deaf, and his doctor said, hey, look, don't go out on tour. You're going to permanently lose your hearing. Axl Rose, it was a huge, huge deal. The rumors were rampant for weeks up until there was rumors of rehearsals. There was some leaked audio. And then I'm really sad that I missed the AC/DC with Axl Rose, because I couldn't have picked a better lead singer to take over that band.
Was he fat when he took over?
No.
There were some fat Axl pictures that made their way around the internet that apparently upset Axl Rose.
Yeah,
he wanted him taken down.
I think he tried to get Google to take down the fat Axl pictures. Here is Axl Rose, who actually, it was his idea to join AC/DC. He reached out to get the guys in AC/DC.
I called the day I read about it in the news that there was a situation going on with Brian's hearing, I called a guy who's their production manager right now and had been and was working with the Stones. He works with us, and I hadn't talked to him in a long time. But I said, because I knew there was going to be a problem with having dates on sale and dates sold and stuff like that. Yes. So if I could help, and if I was able to do it, you know, and they're interested, I would love to help. So that's really how it started.
You know where I want to go trick-or-treat? I want to take my kids trick-or-treating next year.
Where?
Axl Rose's house. Apparently, he pissed some parents off.
What happened?
Well, I'll let this clip speak for itself. Apparently, Axl Rose has a Halloween tree in the month of October.
I decided, let's have a Halloween tree.
Uh-huh.
So
We did a tree, put the presents. Families come with their little kids, and the little kids stand there. And then I would go, wow, you don't have a Halloween tree?
No.
And then I would give them a present. And then their parents would call me for about 3 months. You son of a...
Could you imagine being Axl Rose's neighbor?
This guy's got a Halloween tree with presents. I'm passing out Tootsie Rolls over here.
And then, of course, Hammer, we've had some... we may have covered this earlier in the week, but it bears repeating. 2016, the world of music had some very bad cover songs, did it not?
Oh, man. There were some songs that, by popular artists, that did not need to be made.
Can we film the operation? Is the head dead yet? And all the boys in the news.
God.
Do you know who this is yet?
That's Nickelback.
Yeah, that's Nickelback doing Don Henley's Dirty Laundry.
Got a running bet. Get the widow on the set. We need
here comes
to
my, here comes my favorite part here. Kicks it up a notch right here. As far as I know, this isn't on any album. They didn't release any new work.
Good.
This is like the only thing new that Nickelback released this year.
As bad as that cover is, though, still, the worst cover song of the entire year, and you mm-hmm. can't tell me otherwise, is what Dwight Yoakam, country star Dwight Yoakam, did to the Prince classic Purple Rain.
Baby, I could never steal you from another.
Oh, good Lord.
It's such a shame that our friendship ever had to end.
Come on.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
Who is this? Yoakam?
Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, purple rain,
He was really good in, didn't he play in Sling Blade? Wasn't
yeah.
he the guy in Sling Blade?
Had a cameo in The Wedding Crashers?
Yeah, that's right. And he did, I want to encourage everybody to check out, oh man, the new series on Amazon with Billy Bob Thornton is unbelievable. And Dwight Yoakam's in that as well. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson. We'll be back.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel in for Chad Benson Friday night. Hammer, I wish this Monster Energy drink I was drinking right now was a tall boy Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, man, PBR is the best.
Ready for a beer, man.
The absolute best.
Beer 30 here. We've been taking a look back at 2016, Hammer. I'm curious, though, are you looking forward to anything coming up in 2017?
I'm looking forward to a couple of things. I want to see if my Chicago Cubs can repeat. I want to see if Donald Trump's Twitter can be as entertaining as it has been in 2016. There are two things, though, that I want to come to a complete end that were big in 16 that I want no part of in 17. I don't know if your kids are into this or not, but the Flippy Bottle Game. Are you familiar with this?
Flippy Bottle Game.
Where you take a bottle of water, it's got a little bit of water in it,
oh!
and you flip it up in the air, and yeah. you have to get it to land.
You land straight up, right? Like, okay, I've seen the YouTube video where that kid is out on stage for the talent show.
Right.
And all he does is flip the bottle up, and it comes down and lands upright, and the crowd goes nuts. Is that what you're talking about?
It was a big viral sensation, but anybody that's got kids around the age of probably 15 and younger, you hate this thing with a million fires.
Now, do your kids do it?
Oh, yes. Here's what happens. I coach baseball, too, and if I have my back turned and the kids are in the dugout, that's all you see, bottle flip. Oh, I had to yell at so many kids this year for bottle flip. And what didn't help was there was an NBA game where the Cavaliers had blown somebody out.
Right, LeBron, right?
And LeBron's in the corner.
Right.
Not supporting his teammates, not watching the game, flipping bottle. It's the parrot's worst nightmare, that damn bottle flip
game. So what is it about this thing? It's just kind of a thing that went viral on YouTube and took off, and now everybody's doing it. It's
kind of like the mannequin challenge.
The most simple, moronic thing you could think to do with your time is fill up a water bottle halfway and see if you could flip it and make it land on its upright.
Oh, and trying to coach these kids in any sport. That's not just baseball. Like, if you're in football, basketball, these kids are doing it, and it drives you insane. Yeah. The other thing that I want to see go away, can we stop making the Donald Trump-Hitler analogy? Can we stop, as a society, comparing something we don't like to Hitler? Because that happened a lot.
Who's doing that?
Well, a lot of people did it.
Who's not doing that?
Right. The latest is from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, of all places. They were invited to perform at the inauguration. Jan Chamberlain did not want to do it. She's a member of the choir. She resigned from the choir. She left this quote on her way out the door. "I only know I could never throw roses to Hitler, and I certainly could never sing for him," end quote. Nigel, I'm not Jewish. You're not a Jewish man. But I don't think you have to be Jewish to understand there's a little bit of a difference between Donald Trump and Hitler. It's not cute. It's not funny to make the comparison to Hitler. And it happens over and over again. This was just the latest example. There was a New York Times book review that came out where the exact words were, reviewing the book How Propaganda Works, the subject couldn't be more relevant given a president-elect who has stoked the fears and grievances of supporters who frequently flies flip-flops and sows confusion by a tweet. Hitler argued that effective propaganda appeals to the feelings of the public. I mean, there's a long list of people who have done this thinking they're being cute, thinking they're being witty, to compare a politician who, I understand if you want to make it a political discussion, but at the end of the day, Donald Trump has not murdered millions of people in a horrific way. And if I were Jewish, I would have a big problem with CNN's Dana Bash. All right? CNN's Dana Bash made the statement. This was following one of the debates when Donald Trump mentioned Hillary Clinton would be in jail if she were president. We've heard the soundbite a million times.
I have that. That'll be played later.
She had the statement, quote, "Okay, not to sound corny, but what makes this country different from countries with dictators in Africa or Stalin or Hitler or any of those countries where there are dictators is that when they took over, their opponents got put into jail." MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. We've had some fun with Rachel Maddow all throughout the evening tonight. She did a Rolling Stone interview. This was in July, stating that by studying Hitler, she got a better understanding of Donald Trump. Studying Hitler. Again, this isn't someone with a blog or a podcast somebody making a YouTube video in their basement.
Right.
This is a major news personality comparing a politician in the United States who she disagrees with to Hitler.
Go back to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They're performing at the inauguration?
I don't know if they confirmed, but they were invited to perform.
And the lady, someone that was a member of that choir, resigned because...
Jan Chamberlain. She resigned because, quote, "I could never throw roses to Hitler, and I certainly could never sing for him."
Every time I hear anybody mention the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I automatically think of Fletch. Movie Fletch with Chevy Chase when he goes into the airplane hangar.
He's back and forth to Utah every weekend.
Oh, is that right? What, is he a Mormon?
I don't think he's doing a whole lot of singing with the Tabernacle Choir.
when you mentioned that earlier, when you mentioned that earlier, that's all I could think of, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I don't think he's out of doing a lot of singing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
I don't think he's doing a whole lot of singing with the Tabernacle Choir.
That's all I'm asking for in 2017. A Cubs repeat. Flippy bottle coming to an end, and stop making Hitler comparisons.
I got another thing here. Speaking of Hitler,
hey,
I mentioned a couple of series that I've liked this year on Amazon, and I mentioned one in the last segment featuring Billy Bob Thornton, and I couldn't think of the name of it. It's Goliath. He plays a down-and-out alcoholic lawyer.
Shocking. Billy Bob Thornton?
Playing an alcoholic.
No, not the Billy Bob Thornton that I know. He would never play that role.
Yeah, you got to check out Goliath, the Billy Bob, and Dwight Yoakam, who we were playing Purple Rain earlier, his version of Purple Rain. And then Hitler, boy, there's one that I've caught on now. My wife and I can't stop watching it. The Man in the High Castle.
The Man in the High Castle.
Holy crap. That is so good and so addicting. Now, The Man in the High Castle it's pretty chilling, actually. It's fiction. It's about what would have happened to the United States if Japan and Germany had won World War II.
Okay, so it's a little historical kind of fictionary tale.
Yeah. Oh, man, it is so good and really, really chilling.
It's fantastic.
Do you watch that, Phil?
I just heard about it. Amazon Prime recently because a Christmas gift I bought, I could get 2-day shipping with a free Amazon Prime trial, and someone mentioned it to me, and I binged watched it last weekend.
Oh, so you did? Did you watch the first season? Don't tell me I'm on episode 10 of season 1. I think that's the last. I think that's the last episode of
the first 5. But I mean, I was riveted by it. I can't wait to watch the rest of it.
I binge watched Fuller House.
Good Lord!
That explains why.
Seasons 1 and 2. Thank you very much.
That explains a lot. Oh, my dear Lord.
I'm just now getting to the point where I'm into, like, the Netflix shows. I'm very late to the party on that. I'm completely late to the party, and I'm finally getting my ridiculous cable bill taken care of.
Your cable bill hammer was, what was it? We talked about this earlier in the week, and I forget. It was something outrageous, right?
$240 a month. High-speed internet, ridiculous. And all the sports channels, all the nudie Skinamax channels, all of it. I had the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. Finally decided I don't need to watch Co-Ed Confidentials at 3 in the morning. I need to make some better use of my money.
Emmanuel in space?
That's good for time travel, though. That's an educational program.
Emmanuel. How bad is it that I know the theme song to Emmanuel? That was a major motif in my life when I was 13 years old. Go over to my dad's on the weekends and watch Showtime. And
you went to your dad's and watched Skinamax.
Well, it was late at night. I would, you know, he'd be in bed and I'd be on the couch.
Okay, I thought you meant like with him. Like,
no,
that's weird.
No.
That's really weird to sit down with your old man and watch some sort of prison skin flick.
I'd be a teenager and I'd go over to his house on the weekends. And, of course, I would, Yes! Phil McGee, and ladies and gentlemen, a true producer.
Oh, my God. That's why he gets the big bucks.
Keep it going, please.
So many dudes right now know exactly what we're talking about, but they're going to act like they don't.
We are having some fun here tonight. Not taking it too seriously tonight. It's the ham... I'm sorry. I just wanted to hear the lyrics. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Breaking news, 2016, Keith Richards still alive.
Good for him.
I think it's time we all start thinking about what kind of world we're going to leave behind when we're gone and Keith Richards is still here.
Keith Richards, Twinkies, and Cockroaches will be around long after everyone else.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. We're in for Chad Benson, 844-DIG-CHAD. Big thanks to Chad for having us do the show this week. It's been a lot of fun, and we're talking a little bit of music. You heard David Bowie right there. David Bowie gone. Lost David Bowie this year. Glenn Frey, the Eagles. Prince, George Michael. Debbie Reynolds. George Martin. Maurice White. Merle Haggard. I could go on and on. Leonard Cohen, the great Leonard Cohen. It's been one of those years, and we've been looking back on music. Some of my favorite clips and musicians, and let me play this Gene Simmons clip here real quick for you, Hammer. Gene Simmons, legendary bass player for Kiss, got the long tongue. You know Gene.
Oh, yeah.
Very outspoken, and he doesn't really like celebrity culture, especially when some of these celebrities get out and start talking politics.
Why anybody, including yourself, would
in the Fifth Estate would care what a celebrity thinks or otherwise is the height of foolishness. I mean, America's finally come to the edges and the brink of insanity, where some people might even consider it a good idea for people living in Malibu to decide our foreign policy. I'm not one of those. I think celebrities should basically shut their pie hole and do what they do best. Act, sing, tap dance, juggle balls, and do all that kind of stuff.
Gene Simmons right there.
There we go.
Slow clap.
There we go.
Thank you for saying it. We all fought it. Gene Simmons, not just an amazing toupee, but a hell of an American.
What toupee? No, that's real, dude.
I'm not one of those. I think celebrities should basically shut their pie hole.
No, that's a rug. That's the big long rumor was Gene Simmons wears a rug. And you can go to Google Gene Simmons bald. There's a million photos
really?
Of that dude. Yeah. Here.
Oh, is that what you were showing me?
Yeah, that's Gene Simmons. That's not real hair.
That's, first of all, you're showing me, that's Paul Stanley right there. That's
the entire guy. Google search. Okay. There it is.
All right. Well, another one of my favorite clips here, Hammer. Tommy Lee, drummer for Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah, rock icon.
Phil, you'll like this. Back in 2005, Motley Crue was in Indianapolis at the Field House for a concert. I got backstage, hung out with Tommy Lee after the show. He was so drunk on Coronas. Oh, yeah, and he was slamming absinthe, too, that really strong, I don't know, it's basically like rubbing alcohol.
But yeah, I was going to say, that's what it reminds me of, it was rubbing
like,
alcohol.
I was like Tommy Lee, I was backstage, and it was kind of his area was like a rave. He had like a disco, he had a custom disco ball hung up in his dressing room after the show. And I'm in the bathroom, I'm trying to like, you know, take a leak, and in comes Tommy Lee stumbling with an empty Corona bottle, launches it into the marble shower that was in there, breaks it like he was launching them like grenades right past my head. He's like, "Hey, dude, you want to try it?" Hands me an empty. This is great. Tommy Lee hands me an empty Corona bottle. I'm like, you know, if Tommy Lee hands you an empty bottle and says to break it like a grenade, you do it. So I just launched it into the bathroom, and me and Tommy Lee were breaking empty Corona bottles, shattering them all over the bathroom that night.
Did you get any leftovers?
No,
so to speak.
No, but Tommy Lee isn't one to discriminate when going down the world. You know, when you're talking about roadies and hooking up with chicks, rock stars, he doesn't discriminate.
Everybody's probably had an experience or two with a girl who's maybe a little on the big side, and they rock. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. It's almost like they never have sex. So when they do have it, they're going bananas. It's killer.
Tommy Lee. Humanitarian, great American, Corona drinker.
I'm going to tell you another one of my favorite clips, Hammer, was Phil Collins. Somebody asked him about his famous drum fill and In the Air Tonight. Yeah, you were doing it right there. Everybody, when you hear that portion of In the Air Tonight, you always do the air drums with
it. The air drums, it's the law.
It's mandatory. Somebody asked Phil Collins how that came about, how he did it. He said it's basically just random.
By the time we got into recording it, I just did a fill into it, you know, da-da-da-da. I mean, like, the take before would have been something different. It just, we decided to keep that take.
I love it that Phil Collins imitated his own drum fill.
It sounded like he was in pain, though. Or a seal?
He sounded like one of the sand people from Star Wars.
Didn't Phil Collins divorce his wife by fax? Do we have information on that?
I'm going to need to look that up. I heard that rumor. I'm not sure if that's true or not. There's some changes in the law coming in 2017, right?
Well, you were talking about Tommy Lee and Corona earlier, yeah. And it got me thinking about some of the beer laws that are changing all over the country. Here in Indiana, where you and I call home, Nigel, we still can't go to a store of any kind on Sunday to buy alcohol.
You cannot, yeah, in Indiana, the blue laws are such that you can't go to a grocery store and buy beer. You can't go to a liquor store. All the liquor stores are closed.
Right.
And that's only on Sundays.
Right. So basically, come to Indiana on Sunday, and it's like the town from Footloose.
So you're telling me that... The bars are open. You can buy alcohol at a bar. You just got to, you know, plan ahead if you want Sunday beer.
Right. You can go out, get drunk, and drive home. You just can't go buy the booze and bring it home.
That's ridiculous.
Other states, though, are taking a completely different approach. The good folks from Rocky Top, Tennessee, A new law that takes place effective this Sunday will allow breweries in that state to sell beer with an alcohol volume at 10.1%. This is up from 6.2%. So not only did they raise it, they damn near doubled it.
Yeah, I mean, beer drinkers know. I mean, 10% is really high. That is strong. One or two of those and you'll be good.
It's a moonshine culture down in Tennessee, so good for them. Some other intriguing laws I noticed. Oregon residents will no longer be allowed to send up those sky lanterns. Now, if you're not familiar with those, think about one of the Hangover movies. They send them up at the end of the movie, sky lanterns.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's been outlawed. And this is very bizarre. Illinois residents who preferred a spear catfish with a pitchfork are no longer having to worry about breaking the law.
What?
It's now legal in the great state of Illinois to spear a catfish with a pitchfork.
Here's what Phil Collins had to say about that.
Oh, Phil Collins.
It is ridiculous here in Indiana, though. People all over the country right now listening to that thinking we are in the Stone Ages. Can't buy beer on Sunday.
It's a great place, we promise.
Hammer and Nigel, in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.